The Fan on Demand.
Pretty good day for the NFL so far. Nobody new has been arrested in anything, although it is only 10 o'clock in the morning. Still plenty of time to go. Tim Marchman, editor of Deadspin, will join us at 11 o'clock to take a look at the NFL. Mark Malone, Westwood One, will also join us to talk about the NFL on field. So the Leafs are in camp. Their medicals are today. Dave Nonis, Randy Carlisle. They're going to meet with the media. Already there is controversy at the Leafs camp. Steve Spott quoted in the, paraphrased anonymously, sort of, in the Toronto Star, making some comments about Phil Kessel that, I'm not saying they weren't accurate. But in Toronto, holy mother of God, he has created a firestorm of controversy. Mike Zeisberger, the Toronto Sun, is contributing to the firestorm of controversy. He joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. Never gets old, does it, Mike?
I consider it more a flickering ember, Jeff, compared to what we've been through over the years.
I mean, the first thing I thought of is, hell, I didn't know Phil Kessel knew that much about hockey to begin with that he could question a coach. So I took that as a positive. But secondly, I'll just ask you, are Steve Spott's shots at Phil Kessel, or are they going to leave a stain?
No, I don't think so. I mean, you know that behind closed doors, when from what coaches say to some of these guys, I mean, it's a lot worse than what Steve Spott said. And hey, let's put it this way. When you're an elite athlete, this is not the first time that we've heard that, a player looking at some of the X's and O's and saying, look, I'm not going to do that. I mean, we could go back as recently as with the Lakers when Mike D'Antoni took over. Some of the guys didn't want to play his system. Phil Jackson, some of the guys didn't want to play that triangle system. The only reason a lot of them bought in is because Phil Jackson has won more NBA championships than anybody else. So, there's wide receivers that say, you know what, that's great. You can call a crossing pattern. I'm not going across the middle and putting my life on the line. So, it doesn't really surprise me. But like you said, Jeff, this is Toronto. It's the Leafs. It just happened to come out on the day where everybody is congregating. And I'm sure Dave Nonis is real happy that he's going to have to address this, among a lot of other things, when he meets with the media in about 2 hours.
Yeah, honest to God, when the assistant coach, is creating a story, it's not a positive sign. It's really not a bad. And look, we have to wait and see how this plays out, and maybe wait and see how much of it was actually said. We don't know. I mean, we're going in a lot of paraphrasing and a lot of anonymous sources, which is fine. I'm not calling the reporting into account. It's exactly the way I would have reported a story as well. But it just strikes me as odd that, poor Phil Kessel is such a... He hasn't even played a shift yet. And how comfortable is Phil going to be answering these questions, right?
Phil's pretty good at deflecting controversial questions away. Actually, Phil's pretty good at deflecting any kind of questions away. So, I don't really think that this is the type of thing that really, sparks a flame under Phil. Very little seems to. So, I don't really see this being this kind of dressing room rift going in. We can go back to last year when Randy Carlisle made the comments about James Reimer after a loss in, I believe it was a 2-1 loss in Detroit, where he said James was just okay, and that became a firestorm in Toronto too. And I think that Phil's been here long enough to know that these things are going to heat up. He was in Boston when a lot of things about his character had been questioned. There had been links to the Tim Lewicki comments less than 2 weeks ago. linked to Phil, although, you know, there was a lot of backpedaling and spin doctoring that, oh, no, it wasn't about Phil. So, you know, I think Phil is used to this. And if anybody's in that dressing room, like I said, can deflect away questions and not answer what is asked of them, it's Phil Kessel is an expert at that.
No sign yet, or no, we don't know yet if the parade planning genius Tim Lewicki is going to be at the facility today.
No, we don't. I wonder if he comes, Jeff. Will he take the parade route from downtown to the MasterCard Center?
I really hope the parade route goes by Lester B. Pearson International Airport at some point. That would be tremendous. Okay, Mike. I'll ask you this. Your top three storylines going into Leafs camp this year.
Okay, not necessarily in order.
Right.
But top three storylines in terms of what is going to be the biggest buzz, whether it's legitimate or not.
Yeah.
I think one of them is obviously going to be analytics, and I think that is going to be something that Nonis and Kyle are going to be peppered with today, because obviously President Brendan Shanahan has gone out of his way to say, you know what, this is a legitimate thing, which it is, and we need to address it more. Now, I thought it was very interesting. In the Toronto Sun the last 2 days, we've had a two-part sit-down with Randy Carlyle.
Right, Steve Simmons sit-down.
Analytics, mm-hmm. And I thought it was interesting, you know, because he's, and you know, in a lot of cases, rightly so, perceived as this old crusty kind of dinosaur-type coach. But he said, you know what, we take everything into account. He pretty much said they'd be stupid not to, and he made an interesting analogy. He said, would we as coaches say, No, don't use a composite stick. Those are no good. You can only use the wooden ones. That's what we've used all along. And I thought that was interesting. I thought that showed me that, you know what, that they are open to this analytics thing. So that would be my first thing, because, you know, it's been in the news so much, and rightly so. Number two, I think that today Carlyle and Nonis, one of the things on them is, you know what? You two guys are back, but your support staffs are not. Randy Carlyle pretty much has an entire new staff of assistants. You know, Dave Nonis, his assistants are all new as well. I mean, there's no more Dave Poulin. Claude Lazelle is gone. So the brain trust is different, but you have the two kind of front men still there. And I find it interesting, because a lot of people are going to suggest, well, are there going to be chemistry issues here? So that would be my second. And my third, Jeff, would be the changes, or lack thereof. I mean, the top six are pretty well set. You know, you look back at the defense, most of the guys other than Carl Gunnarsson are back. There were some guys, Stefan Robidoux. Obviously, the third and fourth lines are going to be a big deal. But, you know, I think that would be my number three, is the Leafs' activity or inactivity in coming back with a roster that, let's put it this way, like 70% of it is the same roster that after the Olympics kind of skidded to a halt and missed the playoffs. And you know what I think a lot of people forget about, Jeff, is that the Canadiens and the Rangers – obviously played in the Eastern Conference Final.
Mm-hmm.
When the Olympics break ended, the Maple Leafs had more points than those two teams did in the Eastern Conference. That shows you how bad the fall was in the last 6 weeks of the season.
Mr. Seisberger, I appreciate you doing this. We will do it again. Thanks so much.
Yeah, we'll get those fires going, buddy.
Get them going.
You.
Take care. That is Mike Seisberger, the Toronto Sun, off to carrying his can of gasoline off to the MasterCard Center, no doubt, to help toss, get the fire going. It's one of the best things about hockey season is getting to talk to his eyes. It's not that I don't talk to him outside of hockey season, but you see him more when you're down at the ACC. So there you go. Those are Mike Seisberger's three dominant storylines. Cannot disagree with any of them. We're going to let you have a chance to have your say. 416-870-0590, star 590, 1-888-666-0590. And I'll ask you the question. What do you think is the most interesting storyline going into Leafs camp? The one that has piqued your interest the most. Doesn't have to be the most controversial, although that's certainly acceptable. But maybe the storyline that you are going to be following, maybe it's a position battle, maybe it's Reimer versus Bernier, maybe it is the front office, the analytics, and sort of the dynamic, I guess more than chemistry, between Dave Nonis and the rest of the front office, the dynamic between Brendan Shanahan. Have we really seen Brendan Shanahan's imprint on the Leafs? Like, I've got to think there's more than this, don't you? Don't you think that Brendan Shanahan's imprint is going to be something more than a new assistant general manager and an increased emphasis in analytics? It almost seems as if his influence has been benign right out of the gate. 416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590. If you want to join the conversation and don't want your boss to know that you're talking to us, although quite frankly, I'd rather that you tell your boss that you're talking to us and say, why aren't you listening? Why aren't you calling in? You can use the hashtag Blair Show. And my Twitter handle is SNJeffBlair. Drew in Brampton, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. What's up, Drew?
Morning, Jeff. How are you, buddy?
I am doing well.
Good. I don't think analytics should be that big of a story. Yeah, it's new to our team, and yeah, we've hired the youngest assistant general manager in the league. But, I mean, the focus should always be on the team and how the new guys are going to mesh with the current roster. I mean, as Zeisberger said, the top six, or I think you said it, the top six is basically set. And the bottom six is basically the fresh crop of guys that are coming in, minus Komarov. But, I mean, he should win back anyways.
Mm-hmm.
I just honestly hope that, you know, the fans and the media don't treat Nylander like they did with Kadri. Like, oh, they should give him a chance. Like, let the kid develop at his own pace. No pressure. Let him do, you know, let the coaching staff do their job. Trust in the brain. Trust in the trust that, you know, we hired these guys to develop our young kids. And let's just, you know, let's start anew, start fresh with the Nylander kid and just not another Kadri scenario.
Oh, yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And I don't think that there is a sense that Nylander is going to be treated the same way as Phil Kessel is. You know, you may have hit an interesting point. We talked about Brendan Shanahan's imprint on the organization and what it might be like. Maybe that is that'll be a measure of that imprint, is how it handles or how he handles William Nylander. But yeah, I would hope that the organization would be very, very cautious with him. Rocky and Markham, you're in Sportsnet 590, The Fan. What's your dominant storyline for Leafs training camp?
My opinion going forward to this season, I think it's the goalie situation.
Mm-hmm.
I was shocked that Reimer re-signed with the Leafs. They came to an agreement. I really think that if Reimer builds up his value towards the season, I think he might get traded maybe by trade deadline, in my opinion, because I think Bernier is the real deal. Because I remember when Bernier was starting for the Leafs majority of the season, they were a playoff team. So, and then once Bernier was injured for the rest of the season, everything just went downhill onwards, and Reimer wasn't playing that well. So I think that it's going to be another goalie controversy. I wouldn't be surprised if Reimer requests a trade. So that's what I really feel. Because last year, that was the main topic throughout the season, the goalie controversy. So I think it's going to be another scenario with the goalie situation again.
Yeah, the couple of things that I see, I mean, obviously the analytics debate, emphasis will be an immediate topic of conversation because it's really the biggest move the Leafs made this offseason, right? I mean, the thing that we've talked about the most has been the addition of Kyle Dubas. So out of the gate, that'll be the big storyline, along with the status of David Nonis and Randy Carlyle, because as Mike Zeisberger said, both of them have had, well, they've had their support groups kicked out from underneath them. And that has to be. That's an obvious storyline. In terms of players, I think the goaltending situation, I think, is pretty straightforward. You know, whenever somebody says, well, goaltending is 1A and 1B, a lot of people sort of look at that as just kind of an answer to an escape from giving a real answer. But I think that may be the case. I think Jonathan Bernier is 1A, James Reimer's 1B. Jonathan Bernier will end up playing more games than James Reimer. I do believe that. I think that's pretty straightforward. Now, as long as you have both goalies, rest assured that every time the team wins two games in a row or loses two games in a row, Randy Carlyle is going to be asked whose goaltender is going to be the next night. I mean, that's the nature of it. The player that I think has the potential to become the biggest story in camp is David Clarkson. The Leafs have tied up an awful lot of money in him. He was such a colossal disappointment last year. I'll tell you what. It's a good thing that David Clarkson is as good a guy as he is and as smart a guy as he is, because a lot of other players would have been run out of town having the type of year Dave Clarkson had. And that's going to be a story going into camp. And if he gets off to another slow start, it's going to snowball into a bigger and bigger story. I don't think there is any player in this team, not even Dion Phaneuf, who will be under the microscope as much from the get-go as Dave Clarkson. I don't think it's even close. John in Pottageville, you're in Sportsnet 590 The Fan. What is your dominant storyline going into Leafs camp?
Morning, Jeff.
Good morning.
I think it's got to be Shanahan.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's going to have a little talk with these boys before the season starts, and it's going to be a very simple one. You have to forecheck in a hockey game. You have to backcheck in a hockey game, and you can't cough up the puck at center ice. And if these guys don't want to do that, I'm hoping Mr. Shanahan turns around and says, if you can't do it for Carlyle, that's fine. We'll see if we can accommodate you somewhere else.
I don't know yet how much of an impact Brendan Shanahan will have in the on-ice operations of the team. It's an interesting point. Brendan Shanahan doesn't strike me as the type of guy who just wants to come in and overhaul, you know, move the furniture around in the office. I do believe that Tim Lewicki honestly and truly thought he was enacting culture change when he brought Brendan Shanahan in here. He's bringing in a big personality, a big-time hockey personality, a guy with the pedigree of winning, a guy with a pedigree of authority, a guy who can command a room, not just a dressing room, but a guy who can command a room. And I think we need to see how Brendan Shanahan divides those responsibilities. And this is where the relationship with Nonis gets interesting, because we won't know how Brendan Shanahan views his job until we get an accurate read on what his relationship with Dave Nonis is. And that's something we're going to have to figure out as time goes on. That is an interesting point. Brendan Shanahan doesn't strike me as the type of guy who is just interested in moving the furniture around the front office and goes, yeah, I'll delegate. I'll let my GM do his thing. You know what'll be the most interesting thing? And maybe somebody will ask Dave Nonis that today. Where's Brendan Shanahan going to watch the game? Is Brendan Shanahan going to sit in the stands? Is he going to sit in a private suite? Is he going to have his own box at the hockey game? Or will he be sitting next to the general manager and assistant general manager in the press box? And if that's the case, what does that say? What does that say if Brendan Shanahan watches the game where Brian Burke used to watch the game? It's going to be like the Kremlin photo. Every Leafs home game. Where's Shanny? Oh, he's sitting with Nonis today. Mm-hmm. Dave in North York, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Good morning, Jeff. How are you?
Good, sir.
Okay, I know that this has been talked about, but yesterday when I was looking at my Twitter feeds, I was a little disturbed when Steve Spott had implemented or tried to implement something with Phil Kessel to say, listen, you know what, I need you to come over to the left side, something to do with a defensive strategy. And Phil was like, no, I'm not doing that. You know what, just giving him.
Yeah, it was the breakout play, right, that they were talking about. Yeah,
exactly, right?
Right.
And so this is a conversation that I think that, number one, I think Randy was notified and saying, listen, I've tried to reach out to him. This is what I've asked him to do. And you know what? All I got was pushback. At this point in time, you know what? What I would do, if I was Randy, sit down with Nonis, sit down with Brendan Shanahan and say, listen, this is what we're working on. And we've asked Phil to do A, B, and C. And his response to us was, no, I'm not going to do that. So at this point in time, it's like, you know what? We'll see what happens. If he's not willing to be teachable, if he's not willing to be coachable, if he's not willing to try something different, to say, okay, you know what, let me give this a shot. It's a little different from what I'm used to, but you know what, I've got to try to be open-minded given that we're a pretty new group, and you know what, I've got to take some sort of leadership role and show that, you know what, I can take in new information and work with it. If that's the case, if he's not going to do it, if I was Randy Carlo, I'd be like, okay, you know what, buddy? You're taking a seat tonight. That's the only way you're going to send a message to all these superstars on this team to say, listen, this is the system that we play. Yes, there's allowances within the system that, you know what, give you the freedom and creativity that you want as a player. We're not taking that away from you. However, if you're not willing to implement new things that we teach on the ice, and you're not willing to change your game or adapt your game, do me a favor. You know what? Don't bother showing up to practice. Because you know what? All you are is a hindrance. And then I would go to Brendan Shanahan and say, listen, you know what? Get this clown out of here. I don't care what you have to do. I don't care, you know what, if we have to buy him out. I don't care if we got to trade him, whatever it is. Because you know what? The last person I want on a team is someone like Phil Kessel, who is, a bona fide superstar. But if he's not willing to listen, right, then you know what? That's going to rub off on guys like Nylander and other young kids that are probably going to try to crack the team and say, well, wait a second. Phil's not taking direction. You know what? Steve Spott asked me to do something I'm doing. Why is everyone else not doing it?
Dave, that's a good point. I'd feel better about it if it wasn't an issue that was being addressed in the newspapers. It really is a surprising misstep by Steve Spott. And again, this is, we're just operating on the basis of what we know from the Toronto Star story. But you would think by now that people would realize that everything you say in public is liable to come back and be thrown in your face. It just is. I've been at functions where they've been supposedly, quote unquote, off the record media availabilities, off the record functions. There's no such thing. And anybody who thinks there is a fool. There's absolutely no such thing when you're in a public gathering. I mean, unless you're sitting with members of your family and everybody in your family likes you, you're a freaking idiot if you think that everything you say isn't available for public discussion. It's not paranoia. It's just the new reality. Taylor in Toronto, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hey, Jeff, thanks for taking my call.
No worries.
So I kind of wanted to maybe build a little bit on what your last caller said.
Okay.
I think there may be something here to what Tim Leiwicki said about the star players with bad attitudes, or I'm paraphrasing, but you know what I mean? You know, and you're kind of seeing that a little bit with like Phil Kessel saying, you know, I'm not going to do what the coach wants me to do. I think in the past and very recently as well, that the Leafs have done a terrible job, obviously, of evaluating the type of players you want on a winning team. And I just started thinking about it, you know, as you're having this conversation, and like, look at who their star players are. That you got Phil Kessel, who's a cast off from Boston. They got Dion Phaneuf, who's a cast off from Calgary. You got Joffrey Lupo, who's a cast off from Anaheim. I mean, maybe there's a reason that these are good players, but maybe there's a reason that these other teams don't want them anymore, right? And for the most part, maybe except for Calgary, you know, these are winning organizations, right?
Yes, it's a point that people have made. The core players in this team have been found wanting by other organizations.
Right.
And as you point out, a couple of those organizations, pretty good track records. They have pretty good track records.
I agree. And I guess if you're, you know, go back to your original question, like what's the biggest storyline of the training camp is, you know, I guess this analytics thing, you know, the way I look at analytics is that it's not going to, like, you know, it's not like a thing that's going to come in and just change the team overnight, but it's information and it's a new way to look at talent and a new way to look at players. So, you know, based on the Leafs track record and you know, I guess, like, I don't think Leiwicki has any reason to protect these guys. He's being pretty honest. It's a pretty honest assessment, I think. So based on that, I mean, if you know, they're going to have a whole new set of guys coming in and evaluating players completely differently, I think that's just what this team needs, right?
Yeah, it's, you would like to think that Brendan Shanahan, that part of his job, part of his initial job will be standing back and taking notes and figuring out exactly what he has with the coaching staff and with the players. That's why I said that I will be interested in seeing where Brendan Shanahan watches the game from and continues to watch the games from. And if he's going to sit in the general manager's box, you know, that corner seat used to be Burke sitting in it. Now it's Nona sitting in it. If we see Shanahan sitting in it, what type of message is that going to send? I'm serious. It's something to watch. I think it will be indicative of something. I think it will be reflective of where the real power lies in this organization, where the real decision-making lies in this organization when it comes to day-to-day hockey personnel decisions. We need to see how that plays out. 416-870-0590, star 591, 888-666-0590. We'll continue our discussion. Give me your dominant Leafs storyline as the Leafs start camp today with medicals. And we'll also be joined by Mark Spector, columnist at sportsnet.ca. You can follow him on Twitter at sportsnetspec. And we'll take a look at some of the NHL camps out west, including what to expect from Willie Desjardins' first year with the Vancouver Canucks. All of that ahead in the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Prices like no other, from a club like no other, The Fan Club. Log on to sportsnet590.ca. Now more of the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
All right, welcome back. Travis and I are having an argument. As usual, Travis is winning. Travis has figured out by now that all you have to do is just not pay attention to me. You know. Anyhow. 416-870-0590, star 591, 888-666-0590. We're doing an experiment here, Travis. We're doing an experiment. Those are the numbers to call. We will continue our discussion about the Leafs. They're giving blood and peeing into bottles right now at Leafs camp. It is medical day. Just certainly one of the highlights of my existence. And already Phil Kessel has found himself in the center of controversy. Phil Kessel shows up, finds out an assistant coach has been hammering him to minor league coaches. Anonymous minor league coaches. Again, I'm not ripping the reporting in the story. I would love it. It's a great story, but it's what does that say about Toronto? Anonymous minor league hockey coaches telling stories about a Leafs assistant coach who told stories at a seminar about Phil Kessel. So already Phil Kessel's in the middle of controversy. What's the dominant storyline for you in training camp? Mike Zeisberger, the Sun, joined us, walked us through a few. Obviously, the relationship, the whole front office dynamic, which appears to be messed up. The goaltending situation. Analytics will be a hot-button issue. But and I think for a lot of people, the reason it's a hot-button issue is it kind of gets to the idea that Randy Carlyle may be a little behind the times as a head coach, which I don't necessarily buy into. But it kind of plays into that narrative. If Randy Carlyle shows even the slightest hint that he's not a fan of analytics, we're going to start getting the Randy Carlyle's a dinosaur people coming out. That'll become a storyline. The goaltending situation, I think, is pretty straightforward. But because of the relationship, the supposed relationship between Randy Carlyle and James Reimer last year, that'll be an issue. And then you've got David Clarkson. All of this before Phil Kessel. Let's go to Mark Spector, columnist for Sportsnet.ca. Let's see what he has to say about things. You can follow him on Twitter at Sportsnet Spec. He's got a terrific piece up on a kid that I actually got to interview 3 years ago at the NHL player availability in New York City when I was filling in for Eric Dehatchik. And it's a thing where you're basically in a room. I was in with the guy from the New York Times and a couple of other writers. They bring players in. You get to talk to them for about, I don't know, 45 minutes. Sometimes things done in like 10 minutes. Sometimes it's done in 15. Sometimes like with Jonathan Toews or Taylor Hall, it's the full 45 minutes, if not longer. And Mark, I came away from that session, people saying, what was kind of the thing, the highlight for you or the thing you really liked? And I said, man, I was talking to Taylor Hall. And your piece on how Taylor Hall has held up his end of the bargain with the Oilers, it's dead on. And when you look at the guy's stats, he's done more than held up his own end, hasn't he?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he's a, you know, in the last 2 years, he's been the averaged out at the, I think he finished ninth and seventh in league scoring.
He's an elite player, as you, I mean, and I don't know how many people would call him that, but he's an elite player, as you point out.
Well, if you follow the game, yeah. Like, you got to call him that. He's the highest scoring left winger in the NHL in the last two seasons.
So. How's his Corsi?
Yeah, who cares, right? The thing about Taylor Hall is, as I wrote the other day, he has held up his end of the bargain. He did this, remember, at age 21 and 22, mm-hmm. He's become the highest scoring left winger in hockey. How good is the kid going to be when he's 25 and 26? How good is he going to be when he's got a team around him where his line isn't the only line you have to check to beat his team?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so the numbers, when you put them up against the kind of team he's playing for, they're very good. He's the face of the team, but what I think I found cool is that face is pretty humble. He knows that the team isn't Taylor Hall, right?
Mm-hmm.
He comes to camp talking about how, look, you know, we got a ton of stuff to do. No one cares what I'm doing here. They care about the team. And until the team is good, no one's going to look at Taylor Hall as being as good as, you know, I'd like them to. So I just, I like the way he's managed to be a team-first guy. That's what we like in our hockey players. Despite the fact that at 22 years old, statistically speaking, he's the most productive left winger in the game.
In your story, there's a quote from him. There are things I want to improve about myself. Body language, keeping my temper under control. I think I've got a good grasp on that. A player who's aware that of the fact that his body language is being viewed by his teammates, his fans, and frankly, indeed, people in the media, and feels comfortable talking about that, that's pretty remarkable. I mean, it's not. I'm not sitting here and making it sound like it's Shakespeare or that he's splitting the atom or anything, but it certainly shows you something about a guy's sense of self when you start showing an awareness of how your body language is. That's pretty special.
Well, if you're going to be a leader, you have to lead by example at all. You know, when you're sitting on the bench, you still have to lead. You can't be frustrated. How can you not be frustrated being an Edmonton Oiler?
Mm-hmm.
Are you kidding? You should see the collective body language of the fan base here, right? It's not exactly, they're not exactly hopping down Jasper Avenue here, heading right to Rexall Place. Body language isn't great on a rebuild that's lasted a long time and likely won't make the playoffs this year. So, you know, project that onto a kid who's 22. You know, I mean, 22, man. Like, that's young and immature still. And you don't think that there's moments where he's going crazy here? He signed a 7-year deal. Tied his wagon to this team for 7 years. Look at Bobby Ryan in Ottawa.
Mm-hmm.
He's not sure he wants to set himself up there for 7 years. He's thinking about it. Well, Taylor Hall's in here for 7 years, and it has not gone well. Like, he has not played a playoff game. This kid hasn't played a game to contest for 19th place in the league. You know? So to have a kid who's got some bad body language once in a while, that's something I would expect for him to be well aware of it and to say, hey, I got to be better at this. I think that I also think, as do you, that's a sign of character, right?
Mark Spector of Sportsnet.ca joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. Indeed it is, Mark. Give me a reason to be, I was going to ask you to give me a reason to be optimistic about the Oilers, but give me a reason to expect tangible progress this year on the part of the Oilers.
The Oilers are, there's two ways to look at the Oilers. Are they better than they've been? Absolutely. They added two NHL defensemen, Nikita Nikitin and Mark Fane. Not great players, but legitimate NHL defensemen. This is the first year they've gone into the season with six legit NHL defensemen in many years. So that's one reason. Is their goaltending great? No. Their goaltending is way better than it was last season. They got two guys in Ben Scrivens and Victor Fast, neither of whom are 1A starters in the league, but both of whom can give you NHL goaltending every night. That's a huge improvement. They added depth in their third and fourth lines. The first two lines, you know, they're pretty much married to all these kids up here. The first two lines aren't a big deal. They need a second line center. I get it. But they've got more depth and size up front. So, you know, are they good enough to make the playoffs? I don't think so. Are they a better-looking lineup than they were the last 5 years? Absolutely they are.
As we take a look around the teams out in the West, and I know we just got a few minutes left here, but Willie Desjardins, first NHL foray in Vancouver. What are you expecting?
Well, I'm expecting a covert rebuild in Vancouver a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm expecting a team that, not unlike the Alberta teams, that isn't coming out and saying, we got to start again. You know, I'm looking at a GM, Jim Benning, who's walking in there and saying, I don't like a lot of what we have, and I'm changing it. So I think, you know, they've lost Ryan Kessler. That's huge for them. Will Ryan Miller be a good goalie? I think he's a good enough goalie. Will the Sedins get back to all the level they used to be at? That's something we'll all watch very closely. But I know that at the prospect camp in Penticton, the consensus was that Vancouver's rookies and prospects weren't real good. And I know that Jim Benning walked into that organization and looked around and said, oh, boy, I don't like the way this is going. We've got to make some changes. So I don't think they'll make the playoffs. I think they won't talk about it, but I think inside the corridors of the Vancouver Canucks, there's a lot of change coming in that organization.
Will the fans be patient enough in Vancouver?
You know, I've already heard it's different in Vancouver, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a big metro. It's Toronto West.
Right.
And I think, I don't know if it's fair to say this, I should know the stat, but I'll bet you there's a lot less people in Vancouver who are from Vancouver than there are in Toronto who are from Toronto. Is that fair to say?
Yep.
So that means that the allegiance isn't as strong. The tickets are so expensive as they are in Toronto. I think that market will, you know, they'll sell lots of tickets and there will be a full crowd most nights. But I wouldn't want to be a scalper in that town. Put it that way. If things don't go well, I think there's so many other things to do in Vancouver, it's pretty easy to say, I'll watch this one on TV.
Speck, it's been good of you to join us. Thanks so much.
All right,
Jeff. Take care. That is Mark Spector of Sportsnet. You can follow him on Twitter at Sportsnet Speck. He's got a terrific piece up on Taylor Hall, a kid that I just can't say enough about. And Mark will be all over the NHL's Western camps as we get it going. 20 days till puck drop. And the Leafs, I guess we're getting ready to hear from David Nonis and Randy Carlisle at some point soon as the Leafs start camp with medicals today. First on-ice workout is, I believe, tomorrow. They're going to have like 60 players in camp. What could go wrong? Tim Marchman is the editor of Deadspin. And he has and had an interesting take on the issues with off-field player conduct. Tim Marchman thinks that maybe, just maybe, we've been expecting too much from Roger Goodell, expecting him to single-handedly address the situation. It's an interesting take on it. And Tim Marchman will join us when the Jeff Blair Show continues on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.